grab a seat. Well, we have heard wisdom calling out everywhere to all of those who would listen to her. We've seen last week the benefits of wisdom. And today, what we want to look at is to see the dangers of rejecting wisdom from Proverbs chapter 1. We've kind of jumped around a little bit, and we're actually now in chapter 1, believe it or not. So we're going to look at starting in verse 20. Wisdom calls out some more, and wisdom has an offer to make for all of those who would listen. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Proverbs chapter 1. We're also going to get into chapter 9 a little bit here. But Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. Wisdom's offer. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. And here again, wisdom is calling out to those who need knowledge. She's shouting in the streets, in the square of the city. She's where people are at. She's making her voice heard so that people will come to her and gain the wisdom that she needs. That's the wonderful thing about God, is that he has all of this infinite knowledge. We understand that he's omniscient. But he doesn't hoard it. He wants people to know it. And he puts it out there and makes it available as possible to anyone who would listen to it and follow after him and gain this wisdom that he would have for them to know. And his wisdom, he calls out in these streets with wisdom and everywhere because he cares about people. He doesn't want them floundering around, going after their own hearts, going after their own ways, which he knows will lead to destruction. He knows it will lead to pain and suffering on the part of the fool who rejects the wisdom of God. So wisdom continues to offer itself. And I think there's an important aspect in that for us as believers, is that we need to continue to offer wisdom. She never stops. She never stops calling out. She never stops shouting in the streets and lifting up her voice. And we need to never stop as well. Sometimes we get frustrated. Sometimes we get downcast, maybe. You know, maybe we've shared the gospel with somebody or offered and talked about Christ with loved ones, family members, or friends, and it just seems to be going in one ear and out the other. Should we stop? Absolutely not. We need to continue and consistently offer the wisdom that God has given so that people can come to understand and gain the wisdom that he has for them. Verse 21 continues, it says, "At the head of the noisy street she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city she utters her sayings." Here again, she is in the midst of all of the matters of life, in the middle of the town or in the entrance of the gates where all of the business transactions were done, land deals were done, marriages were fortified together. It is at the city gates, of course, that we see Boaz going to confront one of the relatives for Ruth, and able to, so that he could marry her. That's where all of that took place, was there at the city gates. So it was a place of commerce. It was a place of life events and all of these things that took place right there at the entrance of the gate. And she's there crying out and uttering the things that people need to hear. She is in the midst of the bustle of business and the interaction of human relationships. And it's interesting, you know, you think about it. How can she be there? How is she found in these places? How can wisdom cry out in the street? She's, again, this is a way of personifying something that is not physically real. Wisdom doesn't have a body and cannot call out. This is a way for Solomon to express this so that we can understand. So, but But how can wisdom do this? Well, by believers talking God's word, or taking God's word, to the noisy streets, to the places of commerce, to the entrance of the gates. For us, it's the grocery store, and to the workplace, and to the town office where everything is done. You know, and even close in these days, it's online and on Facebook, and we're places where people meet and think and talk to each other and communicate. We need to be the ones who are taking it out into the streets, because wisdom is spoken through you as believers in Jesus Christ. You're the ones who take the message. You're the ones who share it with people so that they might know the mind and heart of God. Proverbs 1:22 says, "How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge." And here we have three groups of people who have not turned to wisdom, that wisdom calls out to them because they need that kind of wisdom. Of course, we have the naive, that is the simple person, the inexperienced, the gullible youth. One of the commentators expositors explained. So this is somebody who is young, who just doesn't know any better. They just haven't heard the message or anything like that. That doesn't mean that they are exempt from knowing these things, that they should know these things because it's been provided for them to be able to know. Even the heavens themselves declare the glory of God, and we can gain a certain amount of wisdom from even looking at the marvelous creation that God has given to us. But the naive need to know more than that. They need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to know the word of God. I think of all of those Native Americans here in America who didn't know the truth of God. Despite what the Mormons say, they didn't know the truth of God, and for hundreds and hundreds of years, and down in South America, until the gospel was brought to them, and they could hear the good news of Jesus Christ. They were naive. They were simple, without having much access to the truth of God's word. The other group is the scoffers. The scoffer is a person who is arrogant and self-opinionated and always ready to debunk the views and beliefs of others. They make fun of Christianity and scoff at it and say, "Well, I know better. I have this world figured out." And it's interesting, I was watching a video online and on Facebook, and a scoffer, and I don't even remember his name, but he was weird. But he had this idea that, and that God, of course, didn't create. He could prove that God doesn't exist, and so he tried to. He's got a whole series of videos, and he tried to prove it, and failed utterly. But decided and came into this weird idea and said, "Well, God is really variations and frequencies, and therefore the true God, we don't even really exist. We're just waveforms." And I mean, it was just bizarre, some of the stuff that was coming out of this man's mouth. But he is a scoffer. He loves giving his opinion, and is arrogant, self-opinionated, thinks he knows what is going on, and scoffs at anybody who is different than he is. Even that person needs to know the truth of the scriptures. They need to hear the wisdom that comes from God. And then the final group, the third group here, is the fool. Fools here are a downright stupid person, scripturally. They mistake their folly for wisdom, and what they do seems quite right to them and proper to them, and they just have turned away from God. They may know the truth, some truth, but they have completely turned away from it. They're not necessarily scoffing at it. They're just doing their own thing. They have found something that works for them, at least to a certain degree, and they're not going to change, at least without the intervention of God in their lives. And I think of So many people in this world today who've turned to drugs and to alcohol and to sex and everything else to medicate themselves, to make it through. They live for the weekend and drinking or whatever it might be, and that's their life. That's what they know. And they're, many of them are seemingly happy in that life, even though they don't recognize the truth of God's word. They are fools because they've turned away from God's word. Well, verse 23 continues on and says, and this is wisdom again crying out, "Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you." So she talks to these three groups of people. And she says to them, listen, I'm going to reprove you. The truths that I'm going to give you, it is a reproof. It is it goes against the grain of what they're thinking and what they're used to. And so the battle of that mind is happening, and wisdom cries out and says, listen, what you're doing is wrong. Now, it doesn't do that to crush them. It doesn't do that to make fun of them. It's simply by sharing the truth, it is a reproof to those who are naive, to those who are fools, to those who are scoffers. It will reprove them. It will go against them and goes against their way of thinking. And so it must be a reproof. But wisdom calls them and says, listen, listen to my reproof. Turn to it. Accept it. Receive it. Because wisdom understands that that reproof will bring life. And he says, wisdom says, behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. And here, you know, we really see a tie-in. This is really God speaking. Of course, wisdom comes from God. It is an attribute of God. And so really, this is God calling out, turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit. And sounds like Joel chapter 2, where God is going to pour out his spirit upon us. And God has done that, praise the Lord, as a result of Jesus Christ rising from the dead. Now we have the Spirit of God interacting with us as believers in Jesus Christ. And we can see the Spirit of God at work in our lives, the peace and the patience and the kindness that it produces in the life. All of the fruit of the Spirit of God being accessed and being put into practice in a believer's life. And wisdom says, I will make my words known to you. Teach you more. And that's what we do as believers too. As we accept the knowledge of God, the Lord teaches us more and gives us more to understand and know about him so that we can grow closer to the Lord as well. So this is wisdom's offer to us. And now we go on to wisdom's competition. And this is where we jump into chapter 9 a little bit. It just fits in here in this section. But wisdom's competition. Proverbs chapter 9 verses 13 through 18 says, the woman of folly is boisterous. So here we have a comparison between Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, the woman of folly. Lady Wisdom and the woman of folly. And so this woman of folly is boisterous, is loud and clanging and obnoxious type of thing. She is naive and knows nothing. So she falls into the same category of one of those three categories of being naive. This woman, she just doesn't know any better than what she's doing. And so she calls out, and she's going to make this competition for the hearts and the minds of people, especially those who are fools and naive and even scoffers themselves. She sits at the doorway of her house on a seat by the high places of the city. So these are places of comfort and ease that she sits at, and she's able to call people to look to her. Hey, look, this is easy. I've got it on Easy Street. This is I'm living the high life here. I'm enjoying life. And if you will join me, basically, you can enjoy these things too. I have the ease of sitting in my own home, and I'm at the high places of the city where the worship takes place, and all of that sort of thing. I'm well respected, come to me. And you want ease, you want light, an easy life, you want things to be the way that you want them. Come and join me, she says. She calls out to those who pass by, who are making their paths straight. And you can almost you can picture it in your mind. Here is this woman, boisterous woman, and she's calling out to people who are, they're trying to be righteous. They're trying to live righteous. What are you wasting your time for? She's calling out, what are you doing? Look at me. I'm sitting in my house. I got it easy. I got my chair. I got my drink. I can watch TV. Well, they didn't have TV back then, of course. But, they were able to enjoy themselves. She was able to enjoy themselves. And so she calls to those who are passing by. Hey, why you got to live so strictly? Why you got to have rules? Why do you need all of these things? Wouldn't it be just easier on you if you just let all of that go? Is the idea that she has here. Those who are trying to make their paths straight. And this is the call of the world, really, to us, isn't it? And it's a constant tug for every person, isn't it? We want the easy life. We want to take the load, the road that is the easiest to travel, the smoothest way, so that we can do what we want to do and not have to put as much effort into things. And that's what she really appeals to for those who are dealing or those who are passing her by. And what she says here, she says, whoever is naive, let him turn in here. Come and join me. Join what I'm doing, and you will have the same experience that I have. And to him who lacks understanding, she says, verse 17, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Don't worry about the straight path. Don't worry about doing things righteously. Don't worry about following rules or living to a code or a religious way of living. Don't worry about God. Don't worry about any of that. That stolen water is sweet. It's okay if you lie a little bit. It's okay if you do a little drugs, if you're drinking a little bit and getting drunk, hey, that makes life happy. That's what makes life good. All of these enticing things that the world calls to us with, personification of folly calls out to them as well. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Hey, you can hide away from God. God's not going to notice. And, it's really pretty good stuff. If you'll join me, you'll experience how good the good life can be apart from God, and he won't even know, which of course is a lie, because verse 18 says, but he does not know, the naive one does not know, does not understand, does not perceive that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. They don't know that it will cost them their soul, that the enjoyment that they have for a short period of time and the sin that they involve themselves in and eating that bread in secret, trying to do it away from God's presence, will lead to death. They don't understand that it is going against God and that there is a punishment for those things, that there is a consequence to the way that they live. I think of so many people in America these days, especially kids who don't get taught at home very well, and they just eat junk food every day. They don't drink water or even juice during the day. They drink soda for breakfast and lunch and supper. They don't drink milk very often, anything that would be healthy for you. When they sit down to a meal, usually it's a pre-prepared meal that has been bought in a store in a package and frozen, and they have to warm it up. And there's a lot of kids that are living like that. They're just naive. They don't they don't know that that's going to destroy their bodies, especially once they get older. And the same thing is true in a spiritual sense for those who live an immoral life and follow after the calling of the world. It will have a destructive effect on them, and they don't even realize because they've never really been taught what that means and what that is like. So here is the woman folly calling out and calling people to herself. It's a competition from Lady Wisdom. They're dueling with each other, if you will, for the heart and the mind of those who are naive and those who are foolish and even the scoffers. She is calling them into herself. And here's the fool's response back in chapter 1, verses 24 through 25. How do the fool respond? Verse 24 says, "Because I called you and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention." So again, this is Lady Wisdom speaking. She's called out, but they have refused. The response of the fool is to turn away from the wisdom of God, to turn away from what the scriptures say. As they mocked Isaiah, they mock those of us who are believers and say, line upon line, precept upon precept, all you do is talk about the Bible, verse after verse after verse. Do you think of anything else? Do you talk about anything else? Is there any other wisdom that comes from anywhere else that I can find it that doesn't come from the Bible? That's what they say. They have refused the wisdom of God. And so she says, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. In other words, she's extending herself to give out this wisdom for anybody who would take it. She's reaching out in many different ways. And here we see again God reaching out to lost human beings, trying to draw them to the wisdom of God. And I think of Jesus as he walked through the streets and would teach and made his wisdom available to all of those who would listen. And he had all of those groups as well. He had those naive ones, and some would listen to him. And then those who didn't listen to him became either fools or scoffers. And they had fools and scoffers who would go against him. The Pharisees were scoffers. And then there were other people who were just fools. They said, I'm not going to follow after Jesus. I'm going to do my own thing. But Jesus continues to extend himself and reach out. And so, of course, must we as well. She says in verse 25, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. She says, I've extended myself. I've reached out to you many times over and over and over again. And you neglected everything that I've said, all my counsel. You did not want to be reproved. And people don't want to be told what they're doing is wrong, do they? They don't like that. Nobody likes to hear that, hey, you know, that's not exactly the best way to do things. There's a better way of doing things. Don't tell me that. I'll figure it out myself. How many people have you talked to who've said that in a spiritual sense? I don't need God. I'll figure it out myself. I'll take care of it myself. Well, you can't. It's absolutely impossible. They don't want to be reproved. And so they stay foolish and they stay apart from God. What makes man's stubborn refusal so irrational is that God's commandments and warnings are for man's good. And I took this from the Bible Believer's Bible Commentary because I thought it was such a good illustration. They're going against God's commandments and warnings, and therefore, but the commandments that God gives and the wisdom that He gives is not. Are not for his own good, but they are for the good of humankind. So this is illustrated in a story which D.G. Barnhouse told. A small child squeezed past the metal railing that kept spectators 6 feet from the lion's cage at the Washington Zoo. When her grandfather ordered her to come out, she backed away teasingly towards the pen. A waiting lion grabbed her, dragged her into the cage, and mangled her to death. According to Barnhouse, this is the lesson that he draws from that. God has given us commandments and principles that are for our good. God never gives us a commandment because he is arbitrary or because he doesn't want us to have fun. God says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Not because he is jealous of his own position and prerogatives. And I might add, not because he needs praise and that he'll die if he doesn't get his praise that thinks he is coming to him. But because he knows that if we put anything before him, it will hurt us. If we understand the principle behind this fact, we can also understand why God chastens us. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens, Hebrews 12:6 says. He doesn't want us to back into a lion. For there is a lion, the devil, seeking whom he may devour. And so we don't want to turn away from the reproof that God gives to us. And sometimes it's not very pleasant, is it? None of us, even as believers, like to be told that what we're doing is wrong. We don't like to be reproved by fellow believers. We don't like to be reproved as we open up the Word of God and do our devotions and find something in there that we aren't doing. And it's conviction in our heart, and that doesn't feel pleasant at the moment. But it brings about the peaceful wisdom of God, and it is very important for us to follow. So, I didn't know I put that in there. We have the fool's response. Now we have wisdom's reaction in verses 26 through 28. As the fool turns away from wisdom, how does wisdom respond to this? How does she react? How does God react to the fool who turns away from him? Verse 26 says this, I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. There we go. So we have the same response, of course, as those who turn away from God's wisdom. Now, when God laughs at somebody, he is not doing it to hurt them or to be mean or anything like that. This laughing that he does, it is done in a righteous way that is trying to make a point of the fact that they have turned away from his way of the best way of doing things and the righteous way, the way that will lead to life and happiness for the person. But wisdom does laugh at those who turn away from him when they fall into that kind of calamity. God continues to offer out, wisdom continues to reach out and offer its wisdom, but for the fool who turns away from that wisdom, and they fall into these things, they have put that on their own head, haven't they? They really have. And as a way to help them understand, and even in the midst of their failure, to call to them further, there is even a bit of mocking that God does or wisdom does towards that person to help to seal it in their mind that way is so foolish and so terrible. But we see this as God has the same response in Psalm chapter 2 to the nations. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. I think we saw a really good illustration of this week at the trial for George Floyd, but for the officer who murdered him, and that's what happened. He's found by a jury, convicted, and found to be a murderer. And people were rejoicing that justice was completed. And they were rejoicing and laughing at that officer. Why? because they wanted to be mean at him? No. But they were so relieved at that justice had taken place and that that man had received what was deserving of him, and that George Floyd's life was mattered in such a way. So the same thing happens in our society as well. The Lord sits in the heavens and scoffs at those who foolishly try to think that they can overturn him, that they can go against his word, that they can change his plan and his purpose for this world. They have a better wisdom and a better way of doing things because they don't. So we see the reaction of wisdom in verses 26 to 28, and now we see wisdom's reasons. Why does she laugh? Why does she scoff at those who have turned away from her reproof? Well, we see that here in these last couple verses, the reasons for these things. Verse 29 says, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They hated knowledge. They hated hearing from God and understanding him and what he has to say. They hated that true wisdom that is peaceable and that is for the benefit of the person who would receive it. They did not choose to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and so they chose not to have that deep-seated respect and honor for God, but have turned away and just treated him gruffly and dismissed God. And that is why God, in his wisdom, turns and even laughs and scoffs at the naive or at the fool who turns away from him. Verse 30 continues, says, they would not accept my counsel. They spurned all of my reproof. So wisdom here is speaking about this fool, maybe at the end of their life, at the judgment, and said they would not accept my counsel. They just wouldn't listen when I tried to share with them and give them advice for how they should live and what they should do. They spurned even her reproof as she tried to tell them that what they're doing is wrong. And that's what reproof is, saying, listen, this is wrong. Don't do it that way. Verse 31 continues, so they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. And you know, this is really what hell is all about, isn't it? It's giving people what they want, to a certain extent. They want to be separated from God. They don't want anything to do with God and his wisdom and his ways of doing things. I don't want God in my life. I don't want to listen to his word. I don't want to follow him. I don't want to worship him. I don't want to worship his son. I don't want to listen to other Christians. I don't want to be told that I'm wrong. And God says, okay, I'll give you what you want. It breaks my heart, but I'll give you what you want. I have a special place that I have designed that you can not worship me, that you can have it your way to a certain extent. Now, it won't be the big party that everybody thinks it will be, where they're going to be partying with their friends. No, they're going to be alone. They're going to be sad. They're going to be gnashing their teeth, and they're going to be in great pain because they've spurned the truth and the wisdom of God. They've turned away from him and they're become satiated with their own devices, their own ways of doing things, their own sinful machinations. All of those things they have turned towards. Verse 32 says, for the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. The fool just goes on with his life, and without God, hey, I'm happy. I'll just do whatever I feel like doing and go from one thing to the other thing. They don't know that that complacency in their heart against God will eventually destroy them. But he ends on a good note. Verse 33. And here it is. But he who listens to me shall live securely and be at ease from the dread of evil. You know, wisdom, if we will listen to it, will have those benefits that we talked about last week. Those marvelous benefits, sweet sleep, security, living securely, the ease from the dread of evil. Now, that doesn't mean that we will be free from evil. That doesn't mean that we will be free from the effects of evil. But we won't have to dread that evil. Even if they were to kill us, even if we were to die in this world, we don't dread that, do we? Yes, we're sad, but we don't grieve as others grieve who are without the Lord. We're able to grieve with hope because we will be with Jesus Christ for all of eternity. We have a hope within us that the world cannot understand. Now look at these words that they do in this passage. Okay? The response of the fool in his heart is to hate, to not choose, not accept, and to spurn the knowledge of God. All there from verses 29 through 33. And what do they hate, not choose, not accept, and spurn? Knowledge. The fear of the Lord. Counsel and reproof. They've turned away from all of those things that come from God. And God turns away from them as well. But to live securely, to have the benefits, we must listen to wisdom. We must hear and accept, just like we talked about before, receive wisdom prayerfully. Beseech the Lord and call out to the Lord for wisdom. Wisdom is calling out to us. And so we need to call back and say, I will listen. I will listen. I will hear. I will study your word. I will do my devotions. I will spend time learning from you, Lord. And that's how he leaves it in this positive note, that we're to live securely, ease from the dread of evil. For the Jews, of course, especially the evil that they would experience, one of the ways was an invading army like the Assyrians or the Babylonians who would take them from their land and cause great pain for them. And that was part of the promises that God had given and the contract that God made with the nation of Israel. So if they want to live securely, they need to live according to God's wisdom. And if we are to have peace, you know, we don't do good works, we don't obey God in order to gain access to heaven in order to be saved. That's been taken care of. So why should we live righteously then? Hey, if God has saved me and I have a green card that's going to take me to heaven the moment that I die, I can live any way I want, right? No. Because there are consequences to our actions, even as believers. And yes, you might make it into heaven by the skin of your teeth, but there will be no reward. There will be no hope. There will be hope, but there won't be any enjoyment to life. There will be no reward or anything like that. If we want to live securely and be at ease in our lives, to enjoy the peace that wisdom brings to the life of a believer, then we need to listen and follow after and do what God tells us to do. So I challenge you with that today. May you live at ease and securely. Be at ease from the dread of evil too, because you listen to the wisdom that comes from God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wisdom that you continue to offer to us over and over and over again. You continue to extend yourself out even so far as bringing your own Son to this world that we might know who you are, that we might experience you through your Son. Lord, I pray that we would listen. I pray that we would receive the wisdom that you have given to us and that we would enjoy the benefits that come from it. Help us not to be scoffers. Help us not to be fools or even naive, but to know your word and to follow after it. Help us with these things, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. What are some praises and prayer requests this morning? Peter.
Lots of praying, but I had a shot on Wednesday. Felt really bad on Thursday. woke up Friday feeling still a little worried. But I was able to pull myself and get all that stuff out of my system to be able to perform the deep that I need to perform at the funeral. It was really, I don't know, little testimony. But basically, the church in Andover, where all this took place, was one of the first places that true Christianity was pointed out to me as a kid. I was raised as a Catholic. And in New York City, my grandmother lived in a small town called Andover in southern Vermont. And I spent summers there. And I had friendships with people that had kids in that town. And many of them would attend that church. And they had fellowship meetings and softball games midweek and stuff like that. And I was able to see the difference between the Catholic behavior of those people compared to the behavior that I would see back in when I went back to Brooklyn and the parochial school started. And so that was the first, I didn't really become a believer until I was in college, but that was the first exposure I had to, like, you know, true Protestant type Christianity. So we're at the service, and the time comes up when people were able to stand up and talk about the deceased and why my life and why I'm time to do the morning service. And this fellow, Sean Whalen, probably half my age, but sort of a hippie kind of guy, didn't really. He was sort of like, he wasn't really a relative, he just was there. And he came up front and he gave his testimony about how he had accepted the Lord in that church a number of years ago when he was going through an alternative school in Indiana, a Holy Spirit school. And then he talked about how he had moved away and maybe falling away from the Lord a little bit, but he just knew, he saw the ads and stuff about the funeral, that you just have to come to him and tell the people how important that community church was. And I'm like going like, wow, kind of like the same thing for me. He and I connected afterwards and thought that different thing. I don't know exactly, like, if he's going through, he had mentioned that he was sort of like a lost sheep or something. And so I don't know if he's going through a tough time or whatever. He's a really sheep, and I'm really crazy if he's ever real. So I'd like to pray for Sean Whalen, you know, if the Lord would get a hold of his life, and maybe, you know, we could somehow get back together and somehow have a conversation. But it was really a blessed time. And it was really fun also to be able to actually really play music with people and for people. There were some really awesome musical moments.
Praise the Lord. All right. Ralph.
I'd like to praise the Lord. It's our son's birthday today, 44. At work today. Pray that he has a good day. Praise the Lord for my wife. The reason I'm late, I got up at 6:30, but I had to do most everything for myself because she's in severe pain for her back. She did it this week, but just the little thing she does that behind the scenes that gives extra things that she does for me, and realize what a blessing she is.
My goodness.
We got another supply of food for the winter, all stacked outside to dry. She pushes herself and does. Continue to pray for healing for her back. And Carol and I both go this Thursday for our shop. So we pray for not too many side effects from that, but the Lord protects us from that. We had quite a few from the first round of it.
Does the second dose seem to be a little bit worse than the first dose? Yeah. Okay, that seems to be the consensus.
My friend Tim Sterna actually had COVID-19, and he said the second shot was worse than having COVID-19.
Really? Oh my goodness.
But he said it just hit you really quick. It didn't last only like a day and a half. And those symptoms, the headaches and the tiredness and the achiness, it was really severe, I guess.
Wow. Amazing. Well, yeah, go ahead, Edith.
Yes, the second COVID shot is not as much fun.
Because the first one is so much more fun.
The first one is a little more fun. The second one is big, big, old.
Oh, man.
Yes. But thankfully, I had my second shot Tuesday. Got through it after a couple of days. Still tired, but of course I had COVID before that. So
right.
Who knows what. But I'm thanking God that that part's over for now. Continue to pray for Shirley and Dave. They'll be traveling back from Maine to North Carolina. I'm not sure if they're leaving today or tomorrow morning, but Dave has a cough that he got probably from mowing his lawn before he left. He gets allergies, and it's very constant and, you know, exhausting along with anything else he's dealing with.
Oh, yeah.
Ask prayer for my neighbor. She's 101. She'll be 102 next week. I mean, next month if she makes it, but she's going downhill fast now. She's bedridden and on morphine right now. Just pray for her daughter. She cares for her. Pray for Helen. And Jimmy, Millie's son, does come over and help Helen often during the day so that they can take care of her at home. And they do have home help coming in. But just, you know, being with them during this time. Millie's lived a lot of years, and she's been a strong, tough lady. Mm-hmm. Sure, Vermonter. just pray that the Lord will be with them during this time.
Okay.
And Mike and family, well, my mistake, went to Eastern Nazarene College on the snowiest day last week.
Yes.
And it was cold there, but not snowing.
Mm.
And they did get to view the campus, and I think it's a pretty high contender right now.
Mm.
Not to brag, he has been getting a lot of, Isaiah has gotten a lot of newspaper accolades as far as being basketball player of the year and stuff like that. And he has very, you know, he's worked very hard for that.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that he's getting recognition, but I pray that, you know, that won't affect him in a negative way, but just that he will continue to work for.
Is he up for a scholarship to the school?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything about that. They were at Eastern Nazarene, they were just looking at him at the varsity level, which he was hoping for varsity level.
Yeah.
But, you know, he may have to prove himself.
Yeah.
In the even getting on the university level, college team, to me is
still pretty,
a major thing.
Pretty high level.
Yeah. So, you know, just that the Lord will just continue to work in his life and keep him safe in the Lord's will.
Yeah. Amen. Good. I'll share a couple things for myself, but I thought I'd mention, you guys mentioned the shots. I know it'll take a couple of weeks before they take their full effect. How are you guys feeling about, you know, a couple of weeks from now when these shots really do take full effect? Do you want to continue to meet separately at here at the 8 o'clock service and have this service? Or will you? Do you think you'll feel more comfortable meeting together with everyone at 10 o'clock? What do you guys think? And you can, you don't have to tell me right now and at the service, but think about it and let me know. I just want to get a pulse of where you guys are at. So, my family, kind of similar to you, Ralph, Leah and Noelle had a girls' day. Dropped them off at up in Newport at Leah's parents' place because they're in Arizona, and they went shopping and all that kind of stuff. So I had the rest of the kids at home, brought them back down, and I did everything. And boy, you just don't know how you forget how much your wife does when she's not there to do a lot of the stuff that she normally does, and how smoothly everything runs. And I was whooped by the end of the day, let me tell you. I did all the dishes and all the cooking and all the cleaning up and baths and everything else, you know, to try to get everybody ready for church and all that kind of stuff too. So I was grateful to be reunited with my wife, that's for sure. But be praying for Noelle. When we had just arrived there at Grammy and Grandpa's house, she was playing with, she had some 5-pound weights that Grandma had, and she was playing with them, and she banged them together, smashed two of her fingers. And she's got blood blisters under the fingernails of one of her thumbs and her index finger, and they're pretty swollen. And she was in a lot of pain. We took her to the emergency room, and praise the Lord, she didn't break anything, but it was very painful for her, so... Just be praying for Noelle. So I think that's it. Why don't we go before the Lord, and if there's anything that you need to confess before Him, you can do that silently in your heart, and then we'll bring these things to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for having this vaccine available for to help feel better. And even though it's had some side effects getting it, I thank you that it is available and that it's protecting people. And just pray that you would continue to cause this pandemic to diminish. Lord, we're thankful for the medical intervention, but we of course know that you are in control of all things, and we pray that it wouldn't get worse. We know that there can be variants and that could supersede and go move around the vaccine, and so we pray that that wouldn't happen. We pray that we could get back to some sort of normalness here soon. So please, Lord, watch over and help us with this. Thank you for watching over Peter and Marion at the funeral there in Andover, and giving them travel safety there and back, and for being reunited with the church, the community church down there, and the important role that played in Peter's life and bringing him to faith even. And we pray for this Sean Whalen, and Just may you encourage him spiritually as he has encouraged the church. We don't know exactly all that he is going through at this time, but just pray that you would help him to grow in you and to love you, and help him with the life circumstances that he has, I pray. We pray for Ralph's son, because it's his birthday today. Give him a good day. Keep him safe at work. And watch over he and his family, I pray. And we pray for Carol, especially as she's her back and hip are in pain. Pray that you would ease that pain and that she could rest and recover, and that the pain would go away, and that you'd just help her with all of that. So please work in her, I pray. And we pray too for Ralph and Carol as they go Thursday for the second dose shot. We pray that you would they wouldn't have a lot of the side effects and different things as badly as others have had. So watch over them, I pray. And we pray for Shirley and Dave as they're traveling. We pray for Dave's cough, that would go away here quickly. I'm sure it's annoying with all of the other things that he has going on, and especially as he prepares to preach and different things, it's hard to do that with a bad cough. So just heal him up, I pray, Lord, as quickly as possible, and bless he and Shirley. We pray for Edith's neighbor too, Millie. Pray that thank you for the long life that you've given to her, and she's exceeded the 80 years that have been allotted to us, generally speaking. And thank you for that. And we just pray that you would be with her and help her as it looks like she's declining quickly. Please be with her family as they care for her. Just watch over them and give them strength to be able to take care of all of Millie's needs, I pray. And we pray, too, for Mike and his family. Thank you for their trip to the Eastern Nazarene College, for Isaiah. Pray that everything, if that's where you would have him to go, we pray that you would work out all of those circumstances and get everything lined up so that that would happen, and that you would just bless Isaiah, help him to thrive there, whatever school he chooses, but not just academically or even sports-wise, but more importantly, spiritually speaking, give him the spiritual development that he needs as well. And Lord, I pray for Noelle as she injured herself. We pray for her fingers to heal and that the pain would diminish as quickly as possible too. So just help her, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, thank you everybody for being here today. God bless. Have a great rest of the weekend and great week coming up as well.
Oh, Peter, your capo is up here. Woo! Are you looking for that?
Should John doing?
Yeah, I work for MSI.
trying to get clear myself. And it just started raining. And I was like, what the heck? And I just tried to calm myself. I cleared it and then subsided, but I immediately called up. And went in and he ordered, I felt like right away. He said, I think, it's probably nothing because it's going to be an isolated thing.
And I learned a lot of the stations.
Everything checked out okay. The echo, the stress test thing, and all.
I used to have these odd, weird beep things too. Like all of a sudden, a ginormous, out of sync beep. And they were talking primarily about vibration.
Yes, yes. Well, I think it's his son.
It's just, I get concerned. Why is someone strange?
Well, that's the thing.
It's a good product.
We've got one from a naturally, I think, at this point. We don't know if they're related or if you got the, one thing is enough to create a stress response.
I leave there.
Well, that's just it arises from stressful. Yeah, I don't know how many years can you go on?
That's the thing. Without the stress response becoming a condition in itself.
Yeah. And
I don't know. I don't know how you turn your brain off with that. I don't think about that a lot.
Yes, after I've been there for 3 months.
Your brain just stops screaming at you.
Full time. I'm actually hired right now. Vacancy.
Right.
We jump over there. They do that for all the new hires.
No,
but then after 3 months, you become actually hired by MS.
Tribal people who are all real centralized. I just. Care for eating, blah blah blah, and you come back, fly back into the city.
It takes as much money as your drive-in.
It's not helping.
Yeah, you know, well,
no,
yeah.
Whether you said
you got a little busy there, all of a sudden, drive-in
got
a lot.
I've always told the Lord, I said, I
didn't
have
to worry as much.
On the average.
What did he say?
But that's all the, but a lot of the things we worry about are in the voice in your head. That's why, people, it's odd because we read.
Even though driving per hour is more.
And it's not because the person driving, but it's just like a sensation and all this kind of stuff. And it's weird because, exactly, and it's so bizarre. I keep thinking about this guy.
I get 2 out of 3 eyes tired. They call me. State police called me out 10:30.
I've never read it.
One night for a while,
about healing your voice. And about quieting those things. And like I said, you're going to end up with medication, but that's completely, and releasing those things is not if you have a Christian mindset already, you can see where Christianity is all those things. It is all those things, not listening to the constant stream of the satanic gossip and things like that. And the medication where you are, people are quieting
it's different. I sold the generator that paid for the
work. I haven't read it for like a
week.
But it's fascinating. This guy is a news guy, and he's a contemporary Peter Jennings, and it's interesting to just read all that.
Surveyors come and they
really high stress, very competitive. But it's exactly that. You can put in how the Lord wants us to live and respond.
They had the neighbor all of a sudden. The neighbor was Penny Lane and David Maskell,
but
the real good neighbor.
Fascinating
in
that sense, but it is all about
the black lab who used to come over and
shoot. The big one was breaking the dog.
Second pair of the dog.
Exactly, but they don't.
Barbara fence down. We don't need fence.
Cut it. And then there's the ultimate medication.
They cut it whatever you want for trees.
But really, you have to talk about medicating all the time.
Right.
Just not without him.
Neighbor, the one, Kenny, that works for Mike Denton.
Right.
Not just like open the door.
You needed to get
through.
And it's specific.
one stake on the top and then was able, when he come, land surveyor.
That's where
you stress, the stress cycle. Yeah, this Geiger counter, just like the ground floor, he went down there, and I thought it was like 32 feet from the center of the road. He said, no, it should be about 25.
Wow.
In about 2 minutes, and he said, bring that into ground floor and show my judge. Right there was a post about that far down.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
down there. The first time, I said, wow, you are really good. I said, real, you only hit it that good. I said, wow, well, praise the Lord. So, I prayed, and but he had that Geiger counter with the thing, and it was right dead on that pole. He said, how it worked. It's like creates a magnetic thing. In the metal poles, he said, what they do, some of them, they actually put a magnet on top of the pole. And he said, and the machine will like go but it, I mean, at first he brought it, I said, there are probably all kinds of metal bottle caps. And I said, some probably some metal pieces of firefighter and stuff. And just down here, you would probably be like praying, praying to the Lord. And then, and he just stuck a thing in the ground. And he pulled it out. And he went around with the ground for his own. Right there, said,
oh my goodness.
Lord, the cat, and the Lord doesn't doubt about that part. And it was like, that helped.
Oh,
they
yeah.
knew who the boundaries were. So.
That's good because a lot of places in Vermont have never even been
surveyed.
That in my mind, the description of the places is hilarious.
Yeah, if Lee Harvey went through that with Tenler, Albany,
but at the same time,
they were all surveyed, and they had the land come up for sale. And he bought a piece of property for $200. He did the thing and nobody claimed it. And when he went around to deed, there was no way. It was I paid $200 for taxes.
Except the last week has been finally.
I want a deed showing that I bought this property with 0 acres. So they gave me, he took it over and claimed it. It was right there. We were doing with it. The town clerk, the post office, and the fire department. So the town had that surveyed for that amount of land. And they were supposed to have that amount of land, but like I said, everybody, I guess, bragged about the boundaries or whatever, and when they get around, there was like nothing there.
That's funny.
So you get a piece of land, you know,
if you have
on
the other back, but I mean,